It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello everyone, welcome to another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. And last weekend, it was a great Saturday in college football, but this weekend it's even better because we have college football all day today, and then the NFL continues tomorrow, where the majority of the teams get their season going, including our Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by none other than famous Jameis Winston of Florida State. So a lot of stuff to get to, as always, I say it every week, but boy, it's the truth, folks. It is the truth. And we're happy you're hanging with us here on Freedom 93, the home of the Bucs I just mentioned. But let's welcome in the rest of the crew. Simple Bill, who I know is all fired up over the Seminole win, and also Terminator Eric is in the house, and he's pumped up over Fear of the Walking Dead. So two different avenues there, right, guys?
Yeah. How's it going there, sir?
It is going it's going wonderful. I mean, it really is. It's just great. It started really being a fantastic time of year about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And every week it just gets better and better. You know what, though? It gets better and better, Seminole Bill, but also every week the blood gets boiling a little bit. Right. And let's not waste any time. Coming up later on, I'll just give the good folks out there to listen, even though you guys pretty much know the rundown of the show. We follow same format every week. Later on, we'll talk about the Florida State game in their victory over Texas State. Then, of course, we have the Mark Lloyd's Locker Room Bucks Report. Coming up in our third segment. Our fourth segment, we have our entertainment water check and also our fitness tip. But in our first segment here is our chance to talk about the broad spectrum of college football, what took place this past week. And there was a lot of games played. There was a couple, I guess, intriguing games that were on paper that a lot of people wanted to pay attention to. We'll go over those. But what some of the bill, people say we're SEC bashers. No, what we are truth tellers. And it just blew my mind how the AP poll, when it came to the SEC, after because they won games that they were supposed to last week, won games that they were supposed to, how the AP, the writers, the media just goes crazy over them and starts doing stupid things with the poll, where Bama jumps over TCU. Okay, I have a problem with that because TCU should drop even further because they played an awful football game. However, Texas A&M, I'm pretty sure they jumped 10 or 11 spots, Seminole Bill, from beating Arizona State, a team that they were favored over, into the game. Yet they jump up 10 or 11 spots in AP poll. That's stupid.
Well, you know, it is the beat goes on. It's an arguing machine rolling out fast and furious right at the top end of the season. And why wouldn't you? You know, there's such suckers out there for the obvious, which means, you know, this is week one, folks. We don't know a thing about any of these teams really yet. We just know
that. And here's Seminole Bill. Let me interrupt you because nope. You said it, Justin. I got to comment on it. You said, folks, it's week one. We really don't know anything. So what really irks me about the whole Texas A&M situation is because we have a track record from last year. A&M comes out, destroys South Carolina with Kenny Trill or Thrill or whatever his name, Kenny Hill, who's no longer even the quarterback there. Comes out, destroys South Carolina. Everybody goes goo-goo and gaga over Texas A&M. And then after that, they were awful the whole year. So what do? They come out again. They look good. And we go, and the writers are going goo-goo and gaga over them, and they jump them up that high. And the reason being is because they're in the SEC. Did you – Auburn didn't drop. They were supposed to beat Louisville by 10 or 12 points, And it was a close game to the very end. They didn't drop in the polls. Heck no. That didn't happen. However, though, in the coaches' polls, Florida State drops Seminoleville. Two spots.
Well, the AP, right. The AP, we dropped to number 11. In the coaches. And
yeah, in the AP, I'm sorry, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
In the coaches, we actually look like we trended up a little bit, which, you know, that's good.
Yeah, you went up one spot. But, yeah, in the AP, I'm sorry, you're right. You drop a couple of spots. I mean, it's just
– makes
just,
no sense.
And yet they won 59-16.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. We'll get into this, but it was a – you know, aside from the part of the game we thought would be sound, which was the special teams, we did pretty well, I thought, running the ball and throwing the ball. I was very impressed. So
it was a good game. And we're going to get into that, Bill. I'm cutting you off because I know you got a lot of things to say about that Florida State game.
Well, wait.
That's coming up in our second segment. I want to touch on some other big games that took place. Alabama, obviously, they looked good. I wouldn't say they looked unbelievable, like they're some amazing team. They played a Wisconsin team that has never had a quarterback, a brand-new running back. They lose their best defensive player on the second or third series in the game, and it really made a difference. I was shocked how much of a difference it made when that safety went out of the game. But Derrick Henry looked as good as he was supposed to. And I think if you're a Bama fan, you're happy because Jake Coker came in, and he was the starting quarterback. He didn't turn the ball over. And I always think that's really important.
Sure.
And that's really important for Nick Saban in Alabama. The game that took place Monday night, which all eyes were on, that was Ohio State against Virginia Tech. And at the half, it was Virginia Tech winning the game. Now, never once did I think Virginia Tech was going to win the football game, Seminoleville. But I will say this. Wow. When Michael Brewer went out of the game, not that I think he's a great quarterback, but he is their quarterback. That was it. The game was over. Because their backup quarterback is some dude that just runs around and doesn't throw the ball. And Ohio State knew he wouldn't throw the ball, so they stacked the line. But Ohio State will get better as the season goes on because they'll get a lot of players back, especially their best player probably on the team from suspension, Bosa. So they're going to continue to get better. And what is really a shame, Seminoleville, is that for Ohio State, if you look at their schedule, that's it, man. That's it until they play like Michigan State.
Yeah.
And that's like a real bummer. It's like, really? There's no reason to pay attention to you until you play Michigan State, and who knows what they're all about, but at least we think that they're really good. And doesn't that suck as a football, as a college football fan? But that really sucks if you're an Ohio State fan, too, because every week you're just going to play a team that's inferior to you.
Well, you know, I mean, you're going to be on a little bit on cruise control because everyone's, you know, lauded and praised you, and they should. They have a solid football team. It's tough to maintain a level of concentration when you're playing teams you know you should beat, and beat them bad. I mean that, and I've heard that echoed. We talked about it before when we were, you know, on our little foray at FSU.
Yeah.
But you have to keep, you know, you have to keep the interest in the game. You have to keep the team moving forward and setting goals regardless of the opponent. Because if you don't, you know, you can do one of a couple things. One, you can be susceptible to all the praise you're getting and believe that you're so much better than everybody else, and then run into a team that's at some point that's quality enough to beat you. And number two, you can lose interest. And, you know, we used to talk about – I think it's the word of the generation is being bored. You know, how many times I hear in other situations where people say, I'm just bored. You see it all the time. I'm bored, bored. That word wasn't in our vocabulary years ago as much as it is today, especially youth. But the team we watched run for the 2013 championship, 2013, our Seminoles, that was the word, you know, were they always bored because they were able to win?
It was over with in the first quarter.
Were they too bored, and then they let teams get going on them ahead of time and had to come back because they just, you know, felt they were so much better. You know, that's the thing you got to want. Complacency with a young team or even a veteran team can really throw you off, because when you walk into a stadium where the other team really doesn't care who you are and you put the uniform on the same way they do, they're not going to care if you're Ohio State or FSU. They're going to lace them up with the idea that we're coming there to beat you and you better be ready. And everyone's going to give Ohio State their A game, but you know the level of competition at some point will rise to what Ohio State wants to see, and then you'll find out really what kind of game you got.
Well, we hope that's the case. I just don't see it based on their schedule. Some big games. Also, last week, I do want to comment. How on earth Oregon did not drop a whole bunch of spots based on that defensive performance that they had, which was downright embarrassing. The other team, Eastern Washington, whoever they were, they lit up Oregon's defense. I mean, like, it was a hot knife going through butter, or whatever that saying is. They lit them up. And what blew my mind is just the fact that nobody really talked. They talked about how good Vernon Adams was, but nobody talked about how awful their defense was. And we'll see now, because let's talk about these two games this weekend, some of the two of the bigger games in college football is Michigan State takes on Oregon. Last year, Michigan State went out to Oregon, and now Oregon comes to Michigan State.
Yeah.
And it should be an interesting game. But there's a lot of rumor, there's a lot of speculation. Is Vernon Adams even play? And people are talking because he got banged up and it was a concussion. And so it was in and out. So a lot of people are wondering, even though it's supposed to play from all indications, but a lot of people are wondering if he should end up playing. Who do you have in the Oregon versus Michigan State football game at East Lansing? Michigan State is favored by 3.
I'm taking Michigan State. I really am. And this is the first time in I don't know how many years, but a bunch of them, that Oregon goes into a game as an underdog. I want to say it's maybe...
First five in 49
yeah,
weeks.
It's a ridiculous number. So
49 weeks in a row,
that's in favor. That tells you something. And
it tells you Marcus Mariota isn't there.
It sure does. It tells you that there is some stress. And when you're right, you know, it was game one for them. You make a lot of improvement usually in game one to two, but Eastern Washington just put 42 points on the defense, guys. That's not Michigan State. That's not Utah. That's not Arizona. That's Eastern Washington putting 42 points on your defense.
Yeah, bingo. You said it right there. But and you know what? I'll go with Michigan State, too. I think they knock off Oregon, led by Connor Cook for Michigan State. Now, I'm not going to say a revenge factor. It's more of just, hey, we got to win. And what a great victory that would be when it comes to possibly playoff. Everybody talks about two teams from the SEC. Well, you never know. What about two teams from the Big Ten? What about an Ohio
Could
State
be.
And Michigan State?
Could be.
You know, the same factor the way they talk about it with the SEC. Also, the other game, some of the Bills, the 19th-ranked Sooners travel to Tennessee. And, you know what? Let me tell you something real quick, though.
Yes.
This is just awesome. I mean, it's so great that Oklahoma, who is not scared to play anybody. And Tennessee, if you look back, they have a track record of playing whoever it is, too. They played Oregon a few years ago. You know, it's great that they're playing Oklahoma. And the only reason I bring that up is because you have sorry old Florida Gators that refuse to play anybody anywhere. They don't want to play. They haven't played outside of the South in, I think they said, 15 or 20 years. Anybody. No, they never play other than Florida State on their non-conference schedule. And I just had to throw that out there just to rip the Gators and their scheduling and their sorry excuses all the time about why they can't do it, because it's a money factor. Like, nobody else needs money. But that's that, Seminole Bill. Oklahoma comes to Tennessee, 19th-ranked Oklahoma gets 23rd-ranked Tennessee. The Sooners are favored on the road in Knoxville. And for both of these teams, Oklahoma definitely has playoff aspirations, I would assume. And I think Tennessee, a lot of people pick them as a dark horse. So this is a huge game when it comes to credibility down the road. And also, yeah, it's just a big game because it's a Big 12 against the SEC. And who do you like in this game, Seminole Bill?
You know, I'm gonna go with the Sooners. I really am. I just think that, I don't know, I think Tennessee is still got a ways to go before they're really back.
Still growing with their young
talent.
I hear you.
They're going through stuff that we've, you know, a few years ago we're familiar with, and it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time. And you know, hey, we saw a very good Oklahoma team come in, you know, we lost to them out there when we definitely were you know, a bit too big for our britches. And the next year we had them come in here in amazing, one of the best games I've seen in FSU in a long time. And just a great game, you know, a rock 'em, sock 'em robot type game. They just beat each other up, hit, stick, you know, run. And that was, you know, that's the way Oklahoma plays ball. And they, no matter where they're at in terms of the rankings, you better be ready to play. In most cases, Coach Stoops will have his team ready.
Yes, I agree. I'm going to take Oklahoma too, but real quick factor, and we got to take a break. Some of the bill is what's interesting is their star that they didn't kick off the team, Joe Mixon, is showing why Bob Stoops said, "Okay, yeah, I saw the videotape of you punching a girl, but we're going to let you stay on the field after all, after serving your 1 year suspension, because the guy's electric, and he proved it in the first game." But and he's still on the team. Got Florida State kicked off. Third guy that did the same thing. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, some of the bill, let's talk a little Florida State football as they knocked off Texas State and they get ready for USF this morning, really, at 11:30 is when kickoff is. All that coming up next right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us, folks.
This is Seminole Bill
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show, and we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event, every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next Fun Fest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to Fun Fest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
It is the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93. Thanks for taking the time out of your Saturday morning to hang with the show as you do each and every week right here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers. But right now, we're not talking NFL. We're actually talking about Florida State. And some of those, it's great because we're talking about a game that actually counted. And it was a Florida State victory, 59-16 over Texas State. The game was delayed by over an hour due to lightning, but there was no rain. And we saw the debut of Eric Golson, which I got to admit, Seminole Bill, initially and probably every week, it will be weird, just a little bit, because we just saw you almost defeat us with an iconic team like Notre Dame, and now you're the Florida State quarterback. Was it weird at all? It was for me when I was watching. I was like, God, it just seemed a little strange.
It was interesting, just to put it in context.
Good word. Interesting. I like that.
You know, we haven't had this experience really until now. As some other teams, you know, we of course, the big ones, Russell Wilson, you know, transferred from North Carolina State going down to, you know, Wisconsin. But we have not had that experience. We haven't known what it is to have someone come in like that, other than, you know, young as junior college, whatever. So I wanted to see how he felt, because he was very quiet. And what I mean by felt is, was he emotionally and you know, harmoniously in tune with the team? And it appears to be. He seems to be more, of course, on the quiet side compared to Jameis, but he does have the qualities you want in a quarterback, and I thought he proved himself very well. He took what he could get. He had some really good throws that surprised even the guys doing the you know, the game on TV. You know, they were surprised at the velocity of the throw that he could put in there. And then,
yes.
You know, he's not as big as Jameis, obviously. He does some things differently than Jameis. But overall, very effective. Very much a Jameis Winston effect.
Yeah,
he got the win in the way.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. He was efficient. He stuck to the plan of what Jimbo Fisher gave him. And I let me ask you this question, Somerville. What I really liked was even when he made a good play, and maybe it was a touchdown pass or whatever the case was, and he did a good play, I still like the fact that when he came over and Jimbo talked to him still, and it was like, hey, listen, yes, we scored, or yes, you did that, but the design of the play was to do this, this, and this. It was almost like, I think that's why he's there, because he trusts Jimbo. And even though you make a good play sometimes, he's trying to make you better, because it's bigger than just that play. It was recognizing, hey, you know what? Yeah, you made the play, but you didn't recognize that formation on defense, and I'm no quarterback. So you should have done this or this, because, and I think the reason Jimbo does that is because when you play a team like Clemson, Georgia Tech, Louisville, somebody like that, it will cost you. It didn't cost us against Texas State. So I like that fact, and at least from the 30,000-foot view of through TV land, Golson is really going to embrace that the whole year. I know it's only been one game, but I think that's what he wants, because he knows his next step is the NFL. And if there's ever a time to put aside the ego, and I just want to learn, because I want this guy to make me look the best I can, to teach me the most I can, because my next step is possibly to be a millionaire in the National Football League. Did you get that at all?
I did. I hear what you're saying there. I think a lot of times, in fact, I'll be honest with you, listening to what Coach Fisher said after the game, the comments, and even the halftime, it seemed like Everett was getting the checks, putting him into position to make the plays. And that's important, especially early on, because he's all coming at you very fast. So, you know, where I saw Coach, if you will, coaching him up a bit, Everett, you know, he would come over, you know, after plays or after sequences, and whether we scored or not, they were going over things, and they were saying, it's more or less like, what did you see? What were you looking at? What were you trying to check into? What was your vision on that play? And here's what we were trying to do. What did you see progress? I think that's what's going on right now.
You said it better than me. That's exactly what I meant to say. What you said just then.
Everett's a smart quarterback. I mean, I will tell you this. He's not stupid, and he proved his ability. At least, even, you know, it's the first game, but he proved his ability under the microscope, because everybody's watching him. You know, is he going to be the turnover machine? Of course, everybody's already set him up to be that.
You have to be holding your breath that he didn't throw an interception, because
that would have been the narrative.
If he could have thrown nine touchdowns in one pick, and they would have said, there he goes.
And you still didn't hear much about him. You heard, you know, a few people made comment. You know, his debut was, realistically, as good as it could have been. I mean, what did he do? Yeah. So three more touchdowns? I mean, he played. He didn't play the whole game. He played, you know, up until part of the fourth quarter. But realistically, I mean, because of a couple of sequence errors by FSU, you know, punt returners and stuff like that, we dropped some balls and put the ball on the turf. And so he missed a couple of, you know, other opportunities that he would have got earlier on. But I thought he managed the game brilliantly. I thought the team responded well to him. I watched people go over to him and congratulate him. I saw the smile that I wanted to see, that he was having fun, and that's really why he came here. He said he wasn't having fun playing football anymore, and he seemed to be having a good time.
And
people
embraced
him, and that's what you wanted to see. Would we embrace this guy from a foreign team, a team that almost beat us last year, and a high-profile team? Would we embrace him? Everyone did. Even Sean McGuire, they all seemed to be united, and that's what I wanted to see.
At least out in front, that's really good. And I think what Sean McGuire's thinking is, hey, man, it's another year for me to grow. Yeah, I'd like to be the starting quarterback. Maybe I might be, but you never know about an injury. But, hey, he's gone after this year, and it's up to me again to try to win the starting job. Okay, obviously a lot of talent at the wide receiving position. I mean, there's no doubt about it. From Javon Harrison, Travis Rudolph, Ermon Lane, George Campbell looks like. machine, and we know he's going to be really good. Bobo Wilson had a really good game.
Yeah, that was good to see.
Bottom line is, Seminole Bill, Golson is going to be turning around and handing the ball off to one of the five best running backs in the whole country, and that's Dalvin Cook. And all he needs to do, Seminole Bill, is run behind the right side and find and big old Rod Johnson and that crew. Well, because that's the route to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got some boys up there that can that really block like men already, which is great. And I, you know, it's obviously again first game. We'll check it out as it progresses. But there was a point in time where I think they just kept giving the ball, you know, hand off left, and they were just knocking the snot out of the other side of the line there, and they just couldn't do any wrong. And not only did Dalvin look, you know, fantastic, but so did Mario. Mario Pinder really
Absolutely. Got
after it. And if you can keep those guys, like I said, I like to see them both line up in the backfield every now and then. You know, it's just like, you know, an old, like a Ward Gun on the Rock Preston set bigger.
They did.
You know,
They did
a few times.
Yeah, they did.
I want to see that more often, because I'm going to tell you, both of them can catch the ball out of the backfield. And if you have that with Everett, who can move the pocket, I'm telling you right now, you're going to give a lot of teams a problem, because we got the tight end position. Wow. I was impressed by the kid catching the ball. I mean, I'm not going to pronounce his name right, but
Izzo.
Yeah, thank you, Izzo. I want to say Izzo was very,
it was a nice play. From what I heard, he's in there because he can block better than Maven Saunders, who was the guy that had the great spring. So, but he got in the game as well. Now I want to ask you one question, though, Seminole Bill, is that running behind Johnson and Kareem R. area, whatever his name is, that's awesome. But the other side of the offensive line is still a work in progress, and that's troubling. That is still up in the air with whoever's going to play over there, from Brock Rubel to Derek Kelly, everybody, Wilson Bell, Chad Mabity, Cole Minshew. You know, they need to find that. They need to solidify that side, because if not, you know, you're just going to have not a lot of success dropping back and throwing the ball, or Everett's going to be on a run. So that's hopefully an area that real quick they'll improve on.
Yeah, I think that'll come together. I mean, again, you look at the yardage, and granted, you're not playing some big Division I team, but that team had a solid quarterback. They had winning record last year. They played some bigger teams, so. You know, and the coach, you know, he's not
Frank Shoney, yeah.
I mean, he's not, you know, chump change. He's been around. So you got to see a good opening start for the Seminoles, a great start, in my opinion, for both Everett and of course, for Dalvin. And that bodes well. What was a little bit concerning was some of the errors in the kicking game, you know, but the weather may have.
Yeah, but that, people are free. I mean, it's like, Jimbo's got to say how disappointed, and who wasn't disappointed, but at the end of the day, I'm like, Lord, I hope we have a guy that can catch the football on those punts. And Bobo Wilson came out there, and he did a fine job. And
right.
I actually believe that that Marquise White will be fine. I think he was just nervous, and he got flustered,
and he dropped the ball.
Yeah,
it was, you know, a little bit out there. So, you know, yeah,
I agree with you. I don't think that's a concern. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball real quick, Somerville. Before we got to hurry up and get to look ahead to USF, who won last week 51-3 over FAMU. But on the defensive side of the ball, they played a solid game. Jalen Ramsey,
yeah.
No doubt about it. Yes, it looked like they got more pressure. They only got one sack. That was with Trey Marshall. But the thing that I was watching is just the pass rush. And it seemed like they got in there, but they couldn't bring them down still. And did you see something different? I know people are praising the defense so much on the line. I like that they're aggressive, but I always go back to this, Seminole Bill. They're playing against inferior talent there. If that was against Clemson, I would be doing backflips, because I would say, wow, yeah, they didn't sack them, but they had pressure on them the whole game. But this is
true.
This is Texas State, where
Vanilla.
I'm sure, I don't know the stats, but they probably outweighed them by 50 pounds a player.
Yeah, it's going to be vanilla for a little bit. You just got to remember, there's no reason right now, I mean, at least the first game or two, to unleash the hounds. I mean, you're going to do some things. You're going to you're going to treat some of these games like the pros do the preseason. You're going to say, let's work on this, controlling this. Let's work on that. Let's plug and play and see who does this well. And right now, when you know you're supposed to win the football game, the bottom line is, you know, let's see how we are, you know, in our base formation, how we tackle, how we react to certain plays. You know, are we where we're supposed to be, lined up right? You know, are we doing the right things against the center, against the guards? What, you know, let's look at all that. Are guys in position on passing downs? Are they getting their drops? This is what you're going through the first couple of games. There's no reason to put the crazy stuff or give someone film to look at and prepare for you like a Boston College or, you know, a few other games down the road just yet. So right now it's very generic. It's very vanilla. And you'll see more implemented as it goes along, I'm sure.
All right, we're up against the break though, some little bit. Give me some quick thoughts, and I know Trevor's area is losing his mind, but give us some quick thoughts on the USF game coming up. What do you want to see out of Florida State going up against South Florida?
Continue to improve, work together as a team. Let's see, finish off, you know, as many scoring drives as you can. Continue to get touchdowns versus having to kick field goals, unless, you know, it's just a foregone conclusion. Watching the defense shore up and, you know, against competition, seeing them get to the ball, arrive with an attitude, make a lick, all those kind of things, and taking advantage of opportunities to make turnovers. We dropped one or two balls.
That's a good point.
Things of that nature.
That's an excellent point there. Okay. You got to take advantage of those because you're saying is almost – Yeah, exactly. And those are going to be needed against the Clemsons of the world or whoever the other top teams are out there in the country. And I think when it comes to the special teams, it's, as long as they catch the ball this game, then there's no trend. If they drop them again, I think then you start getting it in your head, and whoever goes back here is beyond nervous because of what has happened in the past. All right, we got to take a break. Real quick. What's going to be the score in the Florida State-USF game?
Well, given that USF returned 85% of their tickets, I don't think they're looking for anything special. I think we pound them just about as bad as we did Texas State. I mean, I was glad to see the guys came out the way they did. I'd say probably 58 to 10. You know, that's what I'm looking at.
58-10. Florida State's favored by 28 points, so they cover. I think they cover as well, Florida State at home. 11:30 is kickoff at Doak Campbell Stadium. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have my boys on Locker Room Funk Report. All that coming up next right here on the My Boys Show on 293.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Okay, Buccaneer Nation, it's time to head to Mark Lloyd's locker for the Bucs Report.
Thank you, Senator Bill. It's the Bucs Report. And, hey, finally we get to talk about a game that is real. And what a debut matchup. You couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, you really couldn't for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and also for the Tennessee Titans. Because for the first time ever, the number one draft pick and the number two draft pick, both quarterbacks, Winston and Mariota, it's the first time ever that their first games they ever play are against each other. So I thought that was a really cool stat as the Bucks welcome the Tennessee Titans to Raymond James Stadium. And you know what, some of the rules, there's a lot of different parallels. Obviously, the Winston and Mariota one is a parallel. Well, Mariota's the only guy that ever handed James Winston a loss in his college football career. But also, last year, Lovie Smith, his inaugural season with the Buccaneers, he finished 2-14. Tim Wisenhunt, his inaugural year with the Tennessee Titans, he finished with 2 wins. Also, both of those coaches have both led teams to a Super Bowl, and they both lost in that Super Bowl. And there are two teams that have brand new rookie quarterbacks, a lot of young talent, and they're both looking to improve. So it's a strange matchup, but I think will benefit, and it should be a fun game to watch. Let's get into the nuts and bolts a little bit, Seminole Bill. Tennessee Titans, their defensive coordinator, somebody you know really well, that's Dick LeBeau, your Pittsburgh Steelers coordinator. So you have a veteran like Dick LeBeau, who's very aggressive, going up against Jameis Winston and a shoddy offensive line. It's probably not rocket science, but what are you expecting Dick LeBeau is going to have in store for Jameis Winston?
Well, of course, he's going to give him that 3-4, that he was not comfortable with the last time he was on the field in the preseason. And he's going to throw in some blitz packages and really probably hug the receivers and make Jameis Jameis going to have to beat him. That's all there is to it. If they can't run the ball successfully, the Bucs, then it could be a challenging night. There's going to be a lot of tight windows to throw the ball through. Jameis going to have to make some plays. He's going to have to be disciplined. He's going to have to be willing to check down, like you said, even though he doesn't may not want to at a time, just to take what the defense will give you. And that's the design of that defensive scheme, is to make it very difficult to hit home run balls.
And keep in mind, Winston was sacked 7 times, and I think he only dropped back 56 times. So that means 1 out of every 8 times he dropped back, he was getting sacked in the preseason. So that is scary going into this game. But on vice versa, though, you got Marcus Mariota on the other side going up against a Buccaneer defense that is very aggressive too. That is, I would say, good, looking to improve on last year where they're awful. But now Lovie Smith is calling the shots. And I'm curious to see, Tennessee's offensive line is completely revamped as well. So I think if we look on the defensive side of the ball, I'm jumping back and forth. We're going to go back to the offense in a second. But how big of a game do you expect Gerald McCoy to have up against that Tennessee Titan offensive line, especially going up against a rookie quarterback like Marcus Mariota?
Well, we need him to shine for the Bucs. They need to put that pressure on Mariota. You know, it's going to be interesting to see the chess match between the defenses. How they try and test the rookie quarterbacks. Both quarterbacks are football savvy QBs coming out of college, both Heisman winners. They're not dumb, but again, each one brings different skill sets to the table. Marcus, as we all know, personally, he in his heyday was a more of a running type stuff throw quarterback. Get outside the pocket, throw. Now we're going to see how well he does trying to stay in the pocket, or if they put in systems or schemes specifically to have him be able to roll out and make his throws. Again, different type of situations for him to face, and with Jameis, the same thing. He's going to get tested the same way by skillful defensive schemes.
Yes, and one guy I was going to point out, we mentioned Gerald McCoy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but look out for Brian Arakpo for the Tennessee Titans. When he's healthy, he is a machine. Problem is, he's always injured, but they're going to move him all around. You can see him matching up against some of the rookies that the Bucs have on their offensive line, and he can cause havoc because he could run Winston down in a heartbeat. He's a fast, big, strong dude. Now, let's jump back to the offensive side of the ball and the matchup of both running backs on both teams, and how big are they going to be with two rookie quarterbacks? You have Bishop Sankey for the Tennessee Titans that's going to get the carries, and then for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Doug Martin. And personally, I think the game will be won and lost based on their performances. Because of how aggressive the defenses will be with the rookie quarterbacks, they're going to be huge.
Yeah, they need the yards, and just need to sustain drives. You know, if you don't have the running game working, it doesn't allow you to do a lot of things like play action passing, and you know, just getting a few yards on first down is very vital to if you're running the ball. You definitely want your guys going positive yardage. You don't want to get, you know, shut down early and make it a one-dimensional attack where you have to throw the football all the time. That's just not going to help your QB. You got to keep balance. You got to keep some short dump offs when you can, some screens and everything to, you know, curb the aggressiveness of the defense. And then from our perspective, we just, you know, let Jameis get comfortable. If Jameis gets in the rhythm, he's great. You know, you just let him get a few throws under his belt. I think maybe in the preseason they let him take it down the field. I think what they should be doing or should be thinking of is let's get him a few under his belt, you know, near side plays or dumps or whatever, just so he feels the flutters go away, and then he settles down and he can see the field like he does.
You know, excellent point, Senator Bill. And you mentioned, we mentioned the running backs, but also Winston, though, does have one advantage over Mariota. That is, he has a couple thousand-yard receivers to throw to, and Mike Evans, who had 1,051 yards last year, and Vincent Jackson, who had 1,002 yards last year. Evans being a second-year pro out of Texas A&M, and Vincent Jackson is a longtime veteran. And I think that those guys can really help out Winston, where if the throw isn't perfect, because he's under duress of some kind, we need them to do what they're supposed to do, because they have that athletic ability, they have that capability. But even if Winston, you mentioned, throws a 10-yard down and out or a 10-yard post, it would really help out Winston in the whole offense if Vincent or Evans turns that 10-yard catch into a 20 and 30-yard to help continue to move the chains and sustain drives like you were talking about just then. Let's get to the score of the game, Simon Bill. Tennessee Titans are 8-2 all time against the Bucs, and they make their first visit to Tampa since a 13-10 victory back in 13-10 loss back in 2007. What do you predict is going to be the outcome of this football game?
I think that you're going to see the Buccaneers play inspired in front of their home crowd. I think they'll give Jameis enough time to make the throws he needs to make. Jameis will have his first touchdown pass in this game. I see us, the Buccaneers, winning the game by a score of 24-10.
24-10. Wow. We're really close. And I have the Bucs winning. The Buccaneers are favored by 3 points, but I have them winning 21-13. Over the Tennessee Titans. And a lot of that, Civil Bill, I am leaning because it is a home game. And I think that's really going to help out a rookie quarterback. There's no doubt about it. So we both have the Buccaneers winning, and hopefully Jameis Winston gets the better of Marcus Mariota this time, and they don't turn the ball over six times the way Florida State did against the Ducks in the Rose Bowl. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we actually have a revamped last segment due to the NFL kicking off this week. So I know we normally do the water check, the fitness tip, and the entertainment thing, but you know what? It's opening week in the NFL. We need to concentrate on some of the big games out there that are going to take place. Some of the storylines are going to happen throughout the NFL season, and it all gets started tomorrow. Well, it already got started, but most of the games get started tomorrow. So stay with us, folks, right here on the home of the Buccaneers, Freedom 93 FM.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
From the Mark Lloyd Show. And we want to see you this Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest. Fun Fest is Wakulla County's premier ongoing event. Every other Friday at Hudson Park off Highway 319 in Crawfordville.
Fun Fest starts at 4 p.m., runs till 8 p.m., and admission is free.
At Fun Fest, you will find a variety of food trucks and vendors, some arts and crafts vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, the Keith Lawson Arctic Chill Zone, and more.
Hey, don't forget the entertainment. You can see live performances by local artists as well as regional and touring bands.
And Fun Fest has great sponsors like our very own Freedom 93 FM, Superloop, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Express Printing, Magnuson Hotel, and others. So we always have some great giveaway items. So come on down to Fun Fest and register to win.
Visit WakullaFunFest.com or search Facebook for Wakulla Fun Fest. Like the page and follow for more information on the next FunFest date.
For vendor and sponsor info, call us at 877-7-EVENT-1. That's 877-7-EVENT-1. Come on down to FunFest this Friday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone.
Every single week. We do enjoy it, and we do appreciate it. So, Bill, you ready to talk some NFL? I know normally we have all kinds of stuff, different items going on in our last segment, but it's the kickoff of the NFL. We got to talk some NFL, right?
Yeah, we have to. Got to be done.
Yes, of course it has to be done. We already mentioned the Bucs game against the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
But it's opening weekend. Everybody has a chance. Everybody thinks they can win the Super Bowl regardless of who the quarterback is. And I just wanted to run down some of the games with you. Some of the teams that people are predicting are going to have a decent year and that should be surprising. And then the other teams that are supposed to be there. And one of the games that, to me, is very interesting is the Colts against the Bills. And the reason I say that is that we know the Colts are good. And we know Andrew Luck is good. And they keep on taking the next step. And they were in the AFC Championship game last year. So it's almost like the next step is the Super Bowl for the Colts. They got more talent around Andrew Luck. The defense is still up in the air, as it seems it always is and always has been in Indianapolis. But now they go up against a Buffalo team that is led by Rex Ryan, has an incredible defense, and they've proven it for a few years now. And they're going to be even better because of Rex Ryan. The problem is there's big expectations for the Bills, but they have Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback. And I'm not saying E.J. Manuel is any better, or they've released Matt Castle, or Matt Sims or Chris Sims or whoever it is any better. So it's a weird team. They have tons of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Do you think they knock off the Colts? The Bills are getting 2.5 at home.
You know what? I don't. I think the quarterback situation has got things too muddled right now, and you need to go in with a clear-cut leader. And right now, they just don't have that. They have a lot of question marks. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I think the Colts go in there and win.
You know what, though? You said it. You need a quarterback. Green Bay takes on Chicago. Nothing really to talk about there. There's Aaron Rodgers, and then there's everybody else in Chicago seems to be always in disarray. Here's a good game, Somerville. It's Carolina against Jacksonville. So you have Cam Newton and a good defense, the Carolina Panthers, who won the division last year, I think with a losing record, right? Weren't they 7-8 or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. Or 7-9. They had a losing record, yet they won the division, went into the playoffs. But the big news for Carolina is they lost Kelvin Benjamin. And he's literally throwing to some wide receiver with the last name of Brown. I think they said Willie Brown. And Ted Ginn Jr. are his go-to guys. Give me a break. Ted Ginn Jr. he continues to go from team to team. Up against the Jacksonville Jaguar team that at least in the preseason, Blake Bortles, at least seems like he is getting better and better every single game. And it really looked like he improved over last year. Now he has more weapons on the outside, and now he actually has T.J. Yeldon, the rookie out of Alabama, to hand the ball off to, and they have a solid defense. Jacksonville has a good defense. This should be an interesting game, and if Jacksonville can pull this victory off at home, will be a huge stepping stone for the Jags and a confidence factor, and it could be a sign of things to come for the Jaguars.
Yeah, you know, they've got higher expectations. They're building towards something great, and very similar to what the Bucs are doing. They're revamping and putting some plugs and pieces in they need, and Bortles is he's going to be a great one. I think he's got all the tools. We've seen him. He's starting to develop. I think Jacksonville can take this game, quite frankly, especially with Benjamin out. That's a huge loss. Can't understate that loss to the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton.
No, you can't. Jacksonville is getting 3 points at home. I think I would take the underdog at home, the Jaguars, getting the 3 points. Okay, well, let's stay in the state of Florida, Seminole. Big, big, big expectations for the Miami Dolphins. They spent a boatload of money on defense, bringing in Ndamukong Suh to clog up the middle, to get after it. And he's added on now to what was already a good defense. Now is borderline, I would say they are a really good defense because of the addition of him. Ryan Tannehill seems to be progressing every single year for the Dolphins. Weapons on the outside, Javon Landry, the rookie last year out of LSU, put in a very good year. They have some running backs there led by Mike James, the second-year player, out of the University of Miami. Up against the Washington team that's in disarray. But once again, I think that there's expectations out there for the Dolphins. to challenge the New England Patriots in their division. So what I'm thinking is that it's a very, very important game for the Dolphins to prove that we're going to live up to those expectations, even though they're going up against a team that they had it on the road, but who knows what's going on with Washington. As somebody said, they are the Kardashians of the NFL right now. So yeah. Not a lot of expectations. But I think it's one of those confidence factors similar to for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, look, in Dominican, man, you know. It's a good thing. Yeah. I guess it's good that RG3 isn't standing back there, because that would be a, you know, it'd be like a few and done, because that guy, he's just something else. I'm looking forward to seeing the Dolphins, how they interact and what's going on. They've got, another team that's been building. You know, I guess you say about all the Florida teams the past few years are in rebuild mode, and the Dolphins probably are the one that is at the pinnacle.
Bill, they've been in rebuild mode for 10 years.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
They really have. It's a lost decade.
Yeah, it's kind of, we know that term. But you said it well. I mean, again, Kirk Cousins coming out for the Skins, and your big weapon that was thought to be your guy for, you know, you bought into RG3 and unfortunately hadn't panned out. It will be an interesting game, but again, I'm looking at the Dolphins winning that game.
Yeah, it should be a good football game. You know what, Simon Bill, I'm going to jump all the way out to the West Coast.
Because it's actually
a game that I do like to head out to the West Coast, but it's an interesting game, not because of the matchup of the Bengals against the Raiders, but because for the first time in a while, I actually believe in a little bit of the hype that the Raiders have going on. Khalil Mack, and they finally landed. It's like they finally had two drafts back to back that were decent, and they're thinking that Amari Cooper is the real deal, which we have no reason not to think that. Derek Carr, it's like they have a quarterback now that they like, that they're not trying to sign somebody to come in there and put a band-aid over. Khalil Mack was an outstanding pick last year, and he's a solid linebacker. He's the leader of the defense. So there's a leader on the defense that's young. There's something brewing out there with the Raiders, and they're kind of interesting to me. Are they at all interesting to you?
Yeah, I think you're right. They've drafted well the last couple of years, and they're putting together a team again that I think this year will meet the expectations that there are put on them. They've got, you know, Amari Cooper, man, that guy, you know, look at what people like, you know, Green when he came in the league, and the other kid from Bama when he came in. Both of those guys,
Julio Jones.
Yeah, Julio. I apologize. Should know that as an ex-Bama fan. Those guys were instant impact and instant offense, and they make differences, and so. This kid is the next addition of that. He is fantastic. He's exciting. Sneaky on the speed. You know, you don't realize that he's...
He is.
He'll lull you to sleep and then blow right by you. I think he's going to light him up out there, and I really do look for him to be one of their go-to guys, even as a rookie.
You know what you said something and it resonated with me, because I remember when Jimbo Fisher was recruiting Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook signed. And what he said about Dalvin was, you know what, this guy, he doesn't move the sticks. He's a scoreboard changer.
Right, there you go.
That's what Dalvin Cook will do for your football team. And you just mentioned that about Amari Cooper. He's a scoreboard changer for you. So he's not just about moving the sticks. He's a guy that's going to change the scoreboard, and that's not a bad thing. Okay, I know we almost got to get out of here, but I got to get your thoughts on, arguably, it's going to be a great Monday night game. Real quick, the Eagles against the Falcons, Chip Kelly, Sam Bradford, and all that hoopla that's going on there, up against an Atlanta team with a new coach and supposedly a better defense with Vic Beasley, you know, from Clemson, and we know Atlanta's offense is already good, always good. Atlanta's favored by 3 at home. Who wins that football game, similar though? Then we got to get out of here.
Give me the Dirty Birds. I think they're going to put the Eagles back in the nest.
There you go. I like that. You even did some cliche in there. A good deal. So, it's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be on the Mark Lloyd Show. And especially a great time to be talking some football. So, as sure you'll say, go Noles, right?
Of course, go Noles. And Terminus,
go Bucks.
Thank you, go Bucks. Thanks for the job, Terminus. Go Bucks. Go on the Terminus in a second, but he's doing his job. We appreciate it.
And make sure you tune into the Buccaneer game right here and listen to Gene Dickeroff call the game. on Freedom 93 FM. Well, similar bill and the quiet one this week. Sorry about that. I'm in Paris. I'm Mark Floyd. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.